federal government has only come into public education in the last 50 years, whereas we've had local school systems and state school systems for almost two centuries. So the federal government is sort of a latecomer to public education and only provides about 15% of the revenue that the average local school system has. So the federal government comes in with 15% of the money, but all too often with a much heavier hand than that money should reflect with regard to regulations and paperwork requirements and red tape. And that causes local school systems to have to spend time and resources and money in trying to comply with all that. And what I heard from them and what I completely agree with is that the federal government needs to understand that we play at best a secondary role in education. And if we're going to do anything that helps education in this country, we need to get all this red tape and paperwork off local school systems and come in and help them with their true needs for funding in some specific ways, like workforce training, technical training, so that they can do their job, which they know how to do far better than anybody in Washington ever would.
Now, if you looked at sort of solutions to that or ways to bring that about, obviously having a meeting like you did with superintendents would seem like a good way to go about it. How would you like the federal government, the administration, to go about making those changes to put power for the schools back in the hands of people who are, you know, really doing it?
Well, we're already doing something right now with higher education that I think, at the federal level, that I think we need to do for K-12. We're actually passing legislation through the Congress that will, by statute, remove from the problems that the higher education are facing with federal programs, removing a lot of the red tape and paperwork for them so that they can more easily do their jobs, more readily access federal money, and put it to work in a way that's meaningful. We need to do the same thing for K-12 education. Go through every program that the federal government has that pertains to K-12 education and work through how we can remove the red tape requirements from it, the paperwork requirements from it, so that we can take that burden off the K-12 school systems. At the same time, work with the Federal Department of Education so they can do that sort of thing internally.
Now, playing devil's advocate for a moment, if the federal government has these standards and they're trying to keep schools performing at a certain level, are you supportive of those kinds of things? I mean, is there a way to have certain standards without them being so burdensome?
Yeah, I mean, well, we have all the academic standards in America are set by states. I mean, Alabama sets its own academic standards. Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, each state sets its own academic standards. The federal government doesn't, nor should it, set academic standards. And then each school system in each of those states chooses what curriculum they're going to use in their area to make sure they achieve those standards. So I'm all for high standards and tough curricula. I really think that's important. But I don't think that's the federal government's role. I think the federal government's role, since it has such a smaller footprint, particularly in the money that it provides, the federal government's role should be to come in to provide the sort of support in specific areas of need that local school systems across the nation have. And so I think you expect your state school boards and your local school boards to uphold high standards and significant curriculum requirements. At the same time, the federal government comes in and makes sure that we provide help where it's appropriate for us to provide help.
Do you think, and maybe this is too simple a question, but do you think the state standards that we have for our students are strong enough, or are they too weak?
Oh, no. We started setting much higher standards at the state school board after I joined it 20 years ago. And beginning about two or three years after I got there, these national groups that rate the strength of academic standards for school systems across the nation have always ranked Alabama's standards as high. So our standards have always been high, and they continue to be high. That's not the problem. The problem is we don't have the instructional programs in place that are successfully getting all of our kids through high school and graduating from high school learning at higher levels. So I don't think our problem in Alabama is our standards. I think our problem is we're just not getting the job done like we ought to. I do think we're making progress, but it's too slow and it's not significant enough.
Gotcha. And how do we address that? How do we change that?
Well, I think there are a couple of things we can do. And I've been having these conversations in Washington with a lot of people, and I've even though I'm dealing with it at a national level, I'm constantly thinking, how would this apply back home? I got to say, I think the number one thing we're not doing in Alabama that they're doing in other parts of the country that are clearly working is we need more school choice in Alabama. We need charter schools. We're one of the very few states in America that doesn't have charter schools. And when I talk to my colleagues on the Education Committee, they are astounded that we don't have charter schools in Alabama. I think I read the other day that in the Miami-Dade school system, more than half of all the students are going to charter schools, and I think it's 100% in New Orleans. So in places that have academic challenges around the country, what seems to be working are magnet schools, charter schools, schools of choice. Now, at the same time, the majority of our students are still going to be in a regular, typical public school, and we've got to do a better job there. And there, like I say, we need to clear out the red tape, the stuff that really doesn't matter to teaching and learning. And that would include removing some of the testing off of the students if we're doing too much testing, so that we can ask our teachers and our students and expect them to be really focused on the basics of academic instruction and then make sure that they're getting to those standards and performing at a high level. Because in the economy of the 21st century, if you don't have a true high school diploma with a high school level education, your opportunities in this economy aren't very great.
Are you in favor of the Accountability Act, and do you think it's worked well in the first year of implementation?
I do. I think it's worked very well. Now, I think it's going to work even better as time goes along, but I've talked to a number of the people that are involved with it, and I'm looking at the number of students that have enrolled in it and where they're going and what's happening with them. Of course, it's still fairly new, but it's one example of where school choice can make a difference in individual students' lives. And if you add it together with other types of school choice, magnet schools and charter schools and the like, then you give a great opportunity for different alternatives to parents. And what we've found around the country, and I've seen this in my work on the Education Committee all the time, is that parents really are eager for those choices. And by the way, at the national level, this is not a partisan issue at all. Democrats are as supportive of it as Republicans are. So in Alabama, we've kind of gotten off track, I think. I think we need to understand that while schools of choice don't work for everybody or even the majority of students and parents, they do work for a significant proportion of students and parents, and we ought to make those available to them so they can make their own decision. Is this going to work for me and my child?